In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who takes account of his servants. This statement refers to the account which all men one day be called upon to give. It makes us reflect upon the state of our conscience. Yet, as we continue this parable, our hearts is comforted. God, represented by the king, manifests such kindness, such mercy, and compassion to the poor servant who cannot pay his debt. He forgives him everything and sets him free. In the second part of the parable, the servant's cruelty makes us indignant. The parable describes the punishment inflicted to the cruel servant by his master. The lesson given here is simple. If we wish God to be generous and patient in pardoning us, we must be generous in forgiving others. We shall be forgiven according to the measure in which we forgive. There are several dimensions to forgiveness. For example, God is always ready to forgive, but he requires on our part repentance and conversion of hearts. We must sincerely ask him, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Dear faithful, why it is so hard to forgive? One reason we resist forgiving is that we don't really understand what forgiveness is and how it works. We think we do, but most of the time we don't. Most of us assume that if we forgive our offenders, they get to go about their merry ways while we unfairly suffer from their actions. We also may think that we have to be friendly with them again or go back to an old relationship. While God commands us to forgive others, he never told us to keep trusting those who violated our trust or even to like being around those who hurt us. The first step to understanding forgiveness is learning what it is and what it is not. The next step is giving ourselves permission to forgive and forget. Letting go of the bitterness while remembering very clearly your rights to healthy boundaries. It's hard to forgive. Forgiveness is not letting the offender off the hook. We can and should still hold others accountable for their actions or lack of actions. Forgiveness is returning to God the right to take care of justice. By refusing to transfer the right to exact punishment or revenge, we are telling God we don't trust him to take care of matters. Forgiveness is not letting the offense recur again and again. We don't have to tolerate, nor should we keep ourselves open to lack of respect or any form of abuse. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciling. We can forgive someone even if we never can get along with him again. Forgiveness is a process not an event. It might take some time to work through our emotional problems before we can truly forgive. As soon as we can, God's willing, God's helping, we should decide to forgive. But it probably is not going to happen right after a tragic event. And that's okay. Just in your prayer, ask God to be able to forgive when you will be ready. Forgiveness is not based on others' actions, but on our attitude. People, naughty people, nasty people, stupid people will continue to hurt us through life. We either can look outward at them or stay stuck and angry. Or we can begin to keep our minds on our loving relationship with God, knowing and trusting in what is good. If they don't repent, we still have to forgive. Even if they never ask, we need to forgive. We should memorize and repeat over and over. Forgiveness is about our attitude, not their action. And we don't always have to tell people who hurt us, we have forgiven them. Self-righteously announcing our gracious forgiveness to someone who has not asked to be forgiven may be a manipulation to make them feel guilty. And it's also a form of pride. Also, we might be pressured into false forgiveness before we're ready. When we feel obligated, or we forgive just so others will still like us, accept us, or not think badly about us. It's not true forgiveness. It's a performance to avoid rejection. Give yourself permission to do it right. Maybe all you can offer today to God is, I want to forgive, but right now I'm struggling emotionally. I promise I will work on it. And God, give me the grace to forgive. Forgiveness also does not mean forgetting. It's normal for memories to be triggered in the future. When thoughts of past hurts occur, it's what we do with them that counts. When we find ourselves focusing on a past offense, we can learn to say, thank you, God, for this reminder of how important forgiveness is. So let us not be surprised if it's hard to forgive. It's also hard to ask to be forgiven. Because deep down, we are afraid that people will say no. No, because you have gone too far this time. And what is most scary about that is that the other person has every right to do so. Forgiveness is a return to love. And love can only be freely given. It cannot be demanded. If we have hurt someone, pass to the point where they can handle it, then an end to the relationship, as painful as that may be the best choice. We went too far. Of course, except for married people, you will have to figure it out. So let's remember that return to love is part of our healing. And it can be even harder to forgive ourselves. Our mistakes create problems for us as well. And we did apologize and really turn around. But we understood that we were not facing the hurt of the problem. We needed to apologize to ourselves. How? By a daily examination of conscience. Sacramental confession, and then let's forgive ourselves. Let our sins go. Forgiven sins go. The result will be both emotional and practical. We should feel released from a great burden and become much more able to get to work and to see more into our issues and grow more in trust and forgiveness. Forgiveness is crucial for any marriage to thrive. But if that forgiveness is conditional, it is not couched in the love of God. Jesus Christ died for our sins and asked his Father to forgive us while doing so himself. So, dear married people, forgiveness is probably the greatest gift you can give your spouse, but it's also the greatest gift you can give yourself. Jesus forgave his executioners, even though they did not ask him for forgiveness, even though they were mocking him. In imitation of Jesus, we must forgive those who injure us, whether they ask for forgiveness or not. We do not judge them. God does. There is much here for us to reflect on. We should search our own hearts to see if there is any resentment here. These resentments cannot bring any good in our life. So we have to let them go too. Every time we praise our Father, we ask for forgiveness. That as we forgive those, is very important. So we should not be like the heartless servant in today's parable. Our forgiveness of our neighbor does not necessarily mean that God forgives him. Surely, he must repent for that to happen. But it means that God will forgive us when we pray, forgive us our trespasses. Dear faithful, spiritual maturity or holiness meant that we become more like God. And by his grace, we are never closer to him than when we forgive those who have injured us. Even the pagan orator, Cicero, wrote a long time before, many, many years before the time of Christ, there is nothing that makes a man more like God than mercy. every one of us should be a copy of Jesus. How shall I be such if I do not try to imitate the gentleness of Jesus' heart? So with Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, we pray, O Lord, make me gentle, affable, and agreeable, not to attract the affection of human beings, but to conquer their souls for you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.